Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Chuck Bonnewell, Julie Hayden at the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine. And as a matter of fact, I saw Dr. Jack Schaefer this morning. I did something, I don't know what, to my leg, and he is helping. I mean, I just can't recommend him highly enough. He does a great job. Lots of stuff to talk about today. We will be talking about, and Chuck, you found this, a column in the three states that are turning into California, and not in a good way. And Colorado, shockingly, is one of them. We have all kinds of fun with Cracker Barrel. I don't know if you saw today, Chuck. Cracker Barrel has issued a statement assuring people, don't worry. But wanted to sort of
We should have shared with you our values. If you listen to
let's go to John. We got John Lott with us.
We'll delay that for a while.
That's right. Delay that. We've got Dr. John Lott with crimeresearch.org with us. Had a great column up in Real Clear Politics. Dr. Lott, thank you for your time again. Appreciate having you back on the show.
It's great to talk to you again. Thanks for having me on.
So you in your column, which you can find everybody in Real Clear Politics, it's Trump administration's efforts could sharply reduce D.C. crime. Basically, you found that shockingly, there's a correlation between making it risky for criminals to commit crime and crime rates. Is that right? Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, I know nobody will believe that. But, it's not rocket science. If you want to reduce crime, you have to make it riskier for criminals to commit crime with things like higher arrest rates, higher conviction rates, longer prison sentences. You can also do it by making it so victims are able to go and defend themselves. And Trump is trying to do all those things in D.C. We've just had this kind of remarkable situation where we've had 12 days in a row now during the summer, which is even more remarkable given the murder rates tend to be relatively high during the summer, and we haven't had any homicides in D.C. Yeah. And, if you just compare it to the average daily murder rate last year, the probability that you could get 12 consecutive days without a homicide is 0.2%, one-fifth of 1%. And if you compare it based on the homicides for the first 7 months of this year, it's about 0.37%. So it's extremely unlikely. I mean, normally academics will say if it's like at the 5% level, then that's a statistically significant result. This is much higher than that.
Yes.
And, the thing is also just to compare D.C. to other places in the country. You look at the 25 most populous cities in the United States, which D.C. fits in. The murder rate in D.C. is 28% higher last year than the second city, which was Indianapolis. Yeah. And it's 179% higher than the average. So you have all these Democrat politicians who say this is needless. It's not, there's no crime problem really that are occurring there. This is the worst city. And you have all these individuals that want to go and make D.C. the 51st state. If you compare it to other states, the murder rate in D.C. is 136% higher than the worst state. And it's like 434% higher than the national average. So, I don't know what they want to try to accomplish there. But it's two things are clear. One is there was a real problem to begin with. And two, having more police on the street And I'll just give you an example. So DC had 1,340 patrol officers. Now, you're not going to have all duty at any point in time. You're going to have a maximum about a third.
Okay.
And so that's like 450 patrol officers to go and protect 720,000 people out there. You can understand why the police union says that they're very stretched. So Trump has put on over 500 law enforcement officials there, FBI, DEA, ATF agents, about 800 National Guard. So he's essentially doubled the amount of law enforcement presence on the street that's there. And so it's not too surprising that you've had all these arrests and you've had these huge drops in crime that have
right.
occurred.
Well, and I think even more than, I mean, the police presence is great, but it also appears that they're going to actually do something. I think you pointed out in your column that, you know, under the Biden administration, people in Washington, D.C., they dismissed almost 60% of the arrests, right? And so let's say you're a
right.
cop. It's like, what's the point in risking my life to make an arrest when the odds are 6 out of 10 arrests that I make, they're going to let those people just go altogether. And not only, and we can talk about the cashless or the personal recognizance spots in a second, but it also has to do, I think, with, and I'm sure there's a correlation between, you know, not just having people on the street, but like you said, making it riskier to commit crimes, which means having consequences for commit crimes and crime rates going down, right?
Right. Look, D.C. is very unusual in terms of how prosecutions occur there. You have the U.S. attorney, which is appointed by the president, handles crimes by adults. Crimes by juveniles are prosecuted by the district itself. And so Biden appointed this U.S. attorney, and that individual just kind of refused to go and prosecute a huge percentage of the crimes that were occurring, that even the arrests that were taking place. And but the other problem is that the district itself, these juveniles, it's refusing to prosecute any of these guys as adults. You can be a 17-year-old individual and murder somebody, and they will send you to family court. And what happens is, so you just had this, you know, this so-called big balls guy who
yeah.
was working in Doge, who was viciously attacked and badly bloodied. He was trying to protect his girlfriend there. And we just found out that the family court judge that these 10 individuals who had beaten him released these guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, so, you know, it's not surprising that you have a lot of juvenile crime
yeah.
That's occurring in D.C.
Well, if I'm if I'm a cartel, if I'm an organized gang crime kind of thing, hello, it's not too hard to say, I know, let's have the 17-year-olds commit our you know, our car thefts. Let's have the 17-year-olds commit our shoplifting so we can fence stuff. Let's have our 17-year-olds or up to 17 and, you know, 364 days, let's have them handle our drugs. I mean, it doesn't take a criminal genius to figure that out either.
Well, I'm a little confused. I mean, generally speaking, police don't protect. police respond to calls coming in, occasionally as patrols, but respond to whether there's been, you know, a robbery or something else, and then they go and investigate it, and then they go arrest somebody. I mean, that's police work. Police work is
well,
not
protecting people, I would go and argue, because you're making it risky. And in fact,
yeah.
I think the
well, but you're not standing out in front of the jewelry
store. The most
store.
Important factor for reducing crime
well,
is
but,
arrest rate.
But you're not standing in front of jewelry stores. So
that's true. But you're
what do the National Guard do? They don't
people.
Respond. They don't respond to calls for help. They don't investigate. They're not authorized to arrest. What exactly do they do?
What do who do? I missed part of that.
National Guardmen, guardsmen.
Well, they have National Guardmen have the same powers. I mean, obviously, the same powers that police do. They can arrest.
No, they can't.
In Washington, D.C., I think in Washington, D.C., yeah. I think in Colorado, the Colorado National Guard
can. In an individual state, so in Washington, D.C., the president's essentially the same thing as the governor with regard to the National Guard. But in an individual state, if a governor from that state calls out the National Guard, the National Guard has the power to arrest individuals.
But if they come federalized, but I guess if they come federalized, they can't because it runs afoul of the Posse Comitatus laws. But
again,
I guess
wrong. It depends on it's different for D.C. than it is for other
places.
That's what
I'm saying. That's implied because you haven't federalized them. They're just their own entity. You cannot have federal troops arrest people in Maryland. You probably
The military, that's what I just said. I said it's different for the military, but the point is, in D.C., the president has the same powers with regard to National Guard as a governor does. He's effectively the same thing.
But you're a National Guardsman, you have no training in police work. So what kind of police work do you do?
That's not true. That's not
true?
No.
Well, what? They train National Guardsmen as
policemen?
Control,
they deal with riots.
That's not the same as investigating a robbery.
Well, Chuck, I think you're missing the point here. I think the point is that by increasing law enforcement presence
on the street,
that has an effect on reducing crime. I think that's the point is, and I would ask you, you know, Dr. Lott, that it seems to me too, that if you're telling the criminals, you know, it's not like, okay, there are, you know, this many people out there. It's like, we are going to start arresting you. We're going to start taking it, you know, we're going to start having consequences for your criminal activity. I mean, if I'm a criminal, I'm like, hey, I'm not going to commit crimes here anymore. I'll just go someplace else where it's easier. I mean, I think, and I'm sure research shows that, right?
Yeah, no, that's right. Look, the National Guard is more equivalent to patrol officers. They're not detectives, okay? So just like you have patrol officers out there, if they see a criminal or some type of crime occurring or that, you know, they're called and they're chasing the criminal afterwards, the patrol officer will arrest somebody, and patrol officers do a lot of arrests. And the same thing will be true for the National Guard. So they're not, you know, Chuck's right in the sense that they're not going to go and do the type of investigation that a detective is going to do. But, you know, patrol officers do a lot of arrests.
Yeah. Well, in their mere presence. What about this? What are your thoughts on? So the president today also signed an executive order eliminating their cashless bond. I mean, they call it cashless bond, but it's what it actually is. It's a personal recognizance bond that is nothing more than a pinky swear by the person to come back to court, which, of course, they never do. I think it's a great idea. What do you think of the president's executive order?
Well, I think it's important in terms of being able to go and reduce crime. We've had in different parts of the country, we've had people out commit murders and other things while they're on it. There's a case a little while ago in Michigan where an individual had murdered three people, had been accused of it, was released on essentially no bond that was there, and did another murder. In that sense, the individual, you know, he's facing maybe three life sentences. What additional penalty does he face for killing a fourth person? Look, you know, people talk about the fact, claim that this is somehow unfair to poor people. Judges take that into account, how much money you have. If you're a very wealthy individual, they'll go and make you have to pay a lot higher bond than somebody who's poor. So it's not just being punitive that's there. You have to go, it doesn't hurt to take people off the street if they're dangerous to other individuals that are there. And that's one thing that you need to take into account is whether or not the person might harm other people in determining what level of bail to go and set.
Years ago, and I'm talking, I've been gone now for, this isn't a new problem, like 9 years. I did a story when I was working at Fox 31 News, and I went through literally hundreds of arrest records, right? These are drug cases, right. Most of them illegal immigrants. And I would say roughly 95% of them were released on personal recognizance bonds, no matter what their prior record was, no matter whether they had ties to the community, what other crimes they had committed. And a significant, and then I went back and checked, and a significant portion of them were FTAs, failure to appear, never showed up. And what astonished me, John, is I asked the court system and I asked the district attorney's office, well, you know, this is my little study here, but what are your guys' figures? What are the numbers on the number of people who get, you know, who get released in a PR bond and then who never show up? They had no idea. They said, well, we don't track that. I was like, what do you mean you don't track that? They're like, yeah, we don't know. I was just like, and they clearly didn't want to know, right? What took me.
I mean, it's just irresponsible because you would think they could go then and use that information in court. If you have 90% of the people like that who end up, as you say, that's a relevant fact to go and bring up to the court that says, look, judge, you're supposed to figure out whether these individuals are going to show up or not. You know, and so if it turns out that 90% of the people that we're letting go on personal reconnaissance bonds don't show up, you know, don't you think you ought to take that into account in determining whether you're going to issue another one of those?
Right, right. And I think it was a progressive policy that's failed. What do you think about Trump is talking, and I know his powers are not the same in other states, but he's talking about implementing this in other places. I don't know if he can, but do you think just the success that D.C. is having might get people's attention, or are we kind of talking about blue states and blue cities that just don't care, really?
Well, you know, the bizarre thing to me is Democrats keep claiming that they care about the poor, that they care about the blacks. D.C., as we just talked a little while ago, has an unbelievably high murder rate. Okay, who do you think's getting killed?
Yeah.
Now, the latest data I have is for 2021, but the Justice Department numbers indicate basically that 96% of the homicide victims were black.
Huh.
So, you know, that's pretty bad. Okay,
yeah.
So we have this really high murder rate. 96% of the people who are killed are blacks. Democrats claim that they care about blacks, and yet they tell us this is not a problem in D.C. There's nothing to look at here. Putting National Guard or additional federal officers on the street is needless. No benefit from doing it. And now we've gone for 12 days without one person, presumably, you know, a number of them would have been blacks, have been killed.
Yeah.
And is that something we shouldn't care about? I hope at some point, I mean, I know the initial polls from the Washington Post were claiming that 80% of people in D.C. were against the federalization of law enforcement. You know, the irony is there are lots of shows like, you know, Joe Scarborough on MSNBC and Mark Helpman, kind of a more moderate guy on two-way, have talked about how they've talked to their friends in D.C. and Democratic friends. And the Democratic friends will say, boy, I'm really glad Trump has did this. About time somebody did this. But then they go on Twitter or go on the media and say what a dictator and totalitarian Trump is for going and having FBI agents and others on the streets that's there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's just... So I hope, to answer your question, Trump is much more limited in what he can do. He can't go and federalize the police department in Chicago. He can try to put National Guard troops on the street, but this gets back to Chuck's discussion earlier. The governor, Pritzker, is surely not going to agree to that.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to have the power to arrest as they do in D.C. So they're going to be much more limited in terms of what they're going to be able to go and do. I mean, they can stand on the street corner and stuff like that, but they're not going to have the power to arrest there. And so I hope people in these communities will rise up politically in some sense and just say, look, this is, why aren't you doing this for us? Why aren't you saving our lives? You know, you guys go and talk about Black Lives Matter, but apparently Black lives don't matter when Trump's doing something to go and save those lives.
No, it's ridiculous. And, you know, I think in for the one thing we have to look, I guess it's the good for it is it's demonstrating, you know, what you said, that the Democrats don't care. And this shows it because Trump has found a solution. He's implemented the solution. It's working in just 12 days. And all the Democrats want to do is attack it.
Part of it, most crime is committed by males between 15 and 25. That's where most crime is committed by. You start taking a segment of the people that are males 15 to 25 that are proclivity toward crime, and your crime statistics are going to go down and go down significantly. So I expect Washington, D.C. will be a far safer place than before. But I'm always amazed by the swings in law enforcement and crime. I mean, and I still remember the 1990s where Biden and all the rest are all thrilled about three strikes and you're out. And a lot of people got sent away for the rest of their life, sometimes committing fairly minor crimes. And then we go all the way to, you know, reforms in the bail system have been thought about for a while. But then we go from reforms to the bail system to no bail, to cashless bail, to, you know, no, we don't make reforms. We just get rid of the whole system. So it just swings with these enormous swings one way and then the other. So maybe we're coming back to some sanity with Trump.
Well, I mean, the Democrats, I don't know about swings, but they've been pretty much moving in one direction. Republicans, I think, have been fairly consistent over time in terms of that deterrence matters. You have to make it risky for criminals to commit crime. And look, at least I'll say this about the Democrats. At least they're consistent across the board in the sense that, you know, they don't want to have higher arrest rates or conviction rates or prison sentences, but they also don't want to let victims be able to go and defend themselves. I mean, there are lots of different ways you can make it risky for criminals to commit crime. And one of the ways is to let victims defend themselves. And Trump has been doing what he can there too in D.C. Up until recently, it was taking like 6 or 8 months to go and get your concealed carry permit. Trump basically pressured the District of Columbia to change the rules so that now they're issuing permits within 2 weeks.
Wow.
There's still other things that have to be done. It's very costly to go through the process to get a concealed carry permit in D.C., and they don't recognize permits from other jurisdictions. The budget bill that Republicans are putting together for this next year, one of the provisions in the House version is to basically require that D.C. has to recognize concealed carry permits from all the states. Now, whether that will survive the Senate parliamentarian when they have to go through reconciliation, you know, I guess we'll have to see. But, you know, at least they're trying to go and make some changes there to make it so that people are able to go and defend themselves and make it risky for criminals to commit crime in that way.
There you go.
They gave reciprocity to permits from other states. It'd make a huge difference.
There are lots of tourists who visit D.C. That's not really where the worst crime is in D.C. My guess is most of the tourists don't go into those neighborhoods where the crime is the worst. They're mainly going to be around the Capitol and what have you, and that's a relatively safer area. But look, you know, every little bit helps. There's obviously a lot of carjackings that have occurred in D.C., though that's down like 83% right now under Trump policy. But, you know, it's still something that would be helpful, and it surely would reduce carjackings. You know, carjackings, you know, the Democrats will talk about how they've come down the last couple of years. So there were like almost 1,000 carjackings in 2023 in D.C. And then last year, it was down to like 495 or something about that. And they say, boy, you know, it's gone down like half. The thing is, if you compare it to what it was before COVID, in like 2017 and 2018, there was like 92 or 95 carjackings that were occurring there. So is it down from, you know, the incredible heights? Yeah, but it's still like five times higher than it was in 2017 and 2018.
Yeah, and they're accusing them of fudging the numbers. Hey, Dr. Locke, we're going to have to let you go, but I know people love to read your stuff. Where, and you know, crimeresearch.org, is that the best place to go, or where can people keep up with you?
Yeah, crimeresearch.org has all the detailed information that we've been talking about.
All right. So thank
well,
you
thanks
for
so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. We always learn a lot when you're with us. So thanks again.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. Yep. Dr. John Lott there, crimeresearch.org. Well, you know, I think the getting rid of the cashless bail and the push for that is great. Here from Charlene, classic crisis reaction, predetermined solution dialectic. Oh my gosh, Charlene, I knew, intentional, weaken the judicial and law enforcement. That was Eric Holder, Soros prosecutors, etc. Increase crime, martial law by any other name. But on the other hand, martial law will be necessary to head off the color revolution the commies have planned. So I guess you're right. They wanted to get bad. Once again, you're right in that I think they want things so bad that the people say, let the government help us. Unless, of course, Chuck, the government is Trump, then they don't want any help at all there. So
well, the people are voting with their feet. They certainly are from a lot of big cities, including Denver.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, do you want to talk about that, or do you want to talk about Cracker Barrel? I know you've been.
Well, we love Cracker Barrel. I mean, I've never been to a Cracker Barrel. Have you gone to Cracker Barrel?
I've been there, I think, once. I'm not.
I mean, it seems like, you know, it seemed like
yeah, it's
fun theme. And, you know, they got antiques. They had real antiques on the walls, and they had their own kish. Then in 91, the founder of it did a thing where he said, well, let's get rid of waiters that are not heteronormative appearing. And that got him all kinds of bad publicity. And he admitted that was
poorly worded.
A mistake, and he was gone within a year. But since then, Cracker Barrel has gone full lefty. I mean, it is as woke. Robbie Starbuck did a whole thing. The Nashville Pride, they're part of. They are part of every LGBTQ event you could possibly have.
And Charlene, major investors, BlackRock and Vanguard.
Yeah,
who would know BlackRock's investing?
DEI.
That makes me suspicious that BlackRock and Vanguard are investing in Cracker Barrel. It's
they invest, you know,
I know, but
buy stock in what it believes it grows.
Well,
stock.
They're probably upset because I saw a thing. So Cracker Barrel lost $94 million in stock value after they announced.
That means probably, well, who knows? Maybe Vanguard was selling stock.
Yeah, maybe they're
they're crossing.
They're going to short sell.
It has become a totally woke, totally DEI, as far left as you can go, because that's what the left loves to do. It doesn't just like to go to blue states, convince that. They love nothing better than take over NASCAR, take over Cracker Barrel. So, you know, they got such blowback about their pathetic logo switch.
Yeah, and it's not even like the new logo is nice. So there is I got to admit, I never spent much time, and I know way more about the Cracker Barrel logo now than I ever did before. So it's a guy sitting there with a barrel. And
who looked like a cracker.
But I don't know that somebody said, okay, that's to Grok, draw a cracker. I mean, it's been
the
logo.
If he did, you would have drawn Uncle Herschel.
But it's kind of like Aunt Jemima, I suspect. But in the meantime,
yeah.
Though.
And where's Aunt Jemima? She's gone.
She's gone. But it's like the logo they have now, it just says cracker. It doesn't say anything. It's like, I could have designed
square.
That logo.
It's essentially a rectangle with little bulges.
Yeah. It doesn't look like, I mean, they should have made it, I don't know, fancier font or something like that.
They wanted a minimalistic look, and they got it. But they, you know, okay, our business is going down. What do we do to revive? What do we do to revive? And one of the things you do is you quote unquote modernize. And then what the big mistake is that, they pointed out to themselves, hey, wait a minute, what's Cracker Barrel doing? Are they a woke corporation? And people like Robbie Starbucks started looking at it. They're
Right.
not semi-woke, they're not quasi-woke, they're super woke. The
Yeah, I mean,
left
I would have
totally
never.
took it over.
They should have just. The only thing I could, and it's just kind of funny. So they issued a letter today, and you always know
It
because
was groveling. Say, we've never changed our values. Oh, really?
well, then would you
Yeah,
change
I
your
mean, they
logo for then? Well, that's going to
180
be.
degrees, they changed their values, at least from the early 1990s till today. And they can't change that. They can say, okay, we'll go back to the old logo. We don't care. It's not just the logo that gets us. And it's not just
Well,
a
people weren't
remodeling. We
staying,
hate you.
and
We
it's not
hate
like
you, Cracker Barrel.
people weren't staying away from Cracker Barrel because of the logo. Do you know what I mean? I think Cracker Barrel has a certain kind of, I think that, like anything, like Sears robot, right? I mean, Sears, people, stuff changes sometimes, and a type of food that this has a certain limited audience. And, sometimes you have to just be satisfied with your niche. And somebody there, I'm sure at BlackRock and Vanguard said, hey, we need to grow the brand or get rid of it. And that's my guess too. This is a last ditch effort to try to boost revenues. And if they don't, then they'll just eliminate the store. But it's just ridiculous. It's like, what did you say? Something like a shepherd's pie there has like 1400 calories. It's like,
Well, but that's their comfort food. That's what
right.
they choose. They don't
Exactly.
want
Exactly.
a California, lettuce salad or something. That
The
they
Asian
go to,
fusion soy
and they used to be
kale.
very family friendly one. And they said, "Yeah, we family friendly. We need alcohol." And so they'd, "All right, hey, you want some
Well,
alcohol?
they
Here
should
you
have
go."
just quietly done it. Again, I'm going to quit this doing podcasts and become a PR person because it was just like the Budweiser, right? When you hire a bunch of people to rebrand you who've never actually even eaten at Cracker Barrel, let
I
alone
don't
been
like
into,
it.
yeah, they
I
don't
mean, they
like it,
hate the
nor do
product.
they. Yeah, nor do they know anyone who's ever been to Cracker Barrel, and it's just, and they hate people. They're deplorable who go to Cracker Barrel. It's going to be a failure, just like Budweiser. It's like, so I don't know. I guess they'll doom it, and it's not, it's not like people don't have other food options. So if you make them mad, they can, you can go to Olive Garden or you can go to plenty of other places. So I think this is going to doom them. I don't think they're going to be able to get it back. Do you?
No, because they can't get it back because they basically became a woke corporation. And I don't know how you become an unwoke corporation, but you really can't. And the only thing for them to do is die. And basically they were, basically what they were was they started out with being a convenience store to a gas station. That's the original design. Then they were so successful, they started having standalone, but all their stores, restaurants are along highways, and they spend billions on billboards and everything else. But it's going to be the one where they can't recover, and the woke CEO will have to get rid of the glasses and go into witness protection, so she
She'll
can
get hired to
find
run NASCAR or
a find,
something.
yeah find another brand to destroy. But it is amazing how the left isn't happy just to, have woke things in blue. Say, no, they love it when they take Southern Kish and make it their brand, make it, gay friendly. They're famous for the rocking chairs. Well, then, all right,
They're
let's do
keeping the rocking
rainbow
chairs, they
colors.
say. Yeah.
Let's do all the rainbow colors. In fact, they have at their headquarters in Lebanon, Tennessee, although the Southern is pronounced Lebanon separately. They have a big rainbow colored rocking chair as you go in. I mean, they're everything into DEI. And now
Well,
they've been discovered, they can't put the genie back in the bottle. They can't just go, hey, get that rocking chair out of
and
there.
it's not like people who weren't eating there are going to be like, oh, I'm going to go to Cracker Barrel. I mean, again, people go for the food. So if you're not eating at Cracker Barrel, it's because for whatever reason that's not your type of food. Oh, this is kind of funny. Jacob has MS Now. That's MSNBC's new name. Narcissists Own Network. That's true. That's pretty true. Well, let me, so going back to kind of something John Lott was talking about, you found this great column, Chuck, in Real Clear Politics, talking about the next Californias, which is, and not in a good way, right? Going to be destroyed. Colorado,
Not in a
Washington,
good way,
yeah, and Oregon. Basically, the policies, they're adopting all the policies that destroyed California and caused, people to leave California, et cetera, are being adopted by us now too.
Overregulation is one. Two is green energy. As much of green energy you possibly can get in there, and as little oil and gas as you possibly can get in there. The anti-car one, and it should go on and on and on. And now we've got a special session in the legislature. They've got a little under $1 billion shortfall. And what are they going to do? Well, one of the things they want to do is that part of the big, beautiful bill is that they have rapid depreciation schedules and certain interest deductions you can take that help big companies. But, well, we don't want to help big companies. So they can have them do a separate depreciation schedule saying, no, you can't do the old depreciation
Oh, that'll
schedule.
be good for business.
And so, yeah, they can take Colorado doesn't have a lot of big businesses, but the ones it has, and if they start tinkering with all that, they're kind of go, let's see, how far is Cheyenne exactly? How far do I have to go up the road?
One of the things they're doing, so we have this, like you said, $1.2 billion shortfall. So what do they decide to do, the Democrats? And I bet they get this through. They have been giving previously about $500,000 a year to Planned Parenthood. Now they're going to start giving 4.4 million. So it's like
Thank
of all
God.
the
Thank God it'll keep the abortion mill going.
Right, exactly. Oh, I'm messing up my computer here. It's crazy. And but one of the things I was looking at, because in this column it talked about it. So Colorado, Washington, Oregon, basically since they became one party states due to election law changes, all have low job growth. Colorado has practically the lowest job growth in the country. Sluggish housing construction, deteriorating business climate, and more people moving out. I think Denver lost 18,000 people last year or something like that. Forever, people moved to
Right,
Colorado, not so
right.
much anymore. And they're near the bottom of the state when you rank the states in terms of job and income growth. I mean, it's just ridiculous the kind of stuff that Colorado has implemented. In Denver, I saw some big businesses are suing. They were suing the state over all these new energy kind of things that big buildings have to implement, right? At massive costs. And then the judge threw it out, but now the judge has reinstated it. So I don't know what's going to happen there. But it's almost as if they look around and, as you said, say, how can we destroy businesses? How can we make things harder to do business in Colorado? Let's make things as screwed up as possible. And then we'll become California. Hooray.
Well, the one thing about progressives, which is wonderful, you can say, well, that'll destroy this. And when the Soviet Union in the 1920s, they said, well, we can get rid of all the productive farmers called kulaks. And they said, well, that'll just totally destroy the agricultural sector for a while. Who cares? And so they had, 10 million starved to death or whatever the number is. They didn't care. And so in Colorado, the Denver said, okay, no more parking requirements,
Yeah.
none. And they said, well, let the market decide. Well, the one thing that Johnston and all the rest of them, they're not free market capitalists, right? They don't go, we love the market. No, what they hope it will happen, which is what'll happen, it'll be impossible to park a lot of places around Denver. And their hope is that we become Saigon in
Yeah,
1965
we
with
all, yeah.
everybody on bicycles. And if it totally destroys the city, that,
They
well,
don't care. Yeah.
yeah, maybe it
Never
will,
mind.
maybe it
Never
won't.
mind
Maybe it'll
winter.
become a, this
Yeah.
wonderful walk to work kind of place where you can walk, recreate, and go to within 15 minutes. Or maybe everybody will just leave
Yeah.
because it's going to become a hellhole.
That's
And
right.
you ask those, and those in the, you don't need a zoning and a planning department if all your view is let the free market decide. If that's your view, get rid of the community development, get rid of zoning, get rid of all of it. Just let the market decide. And the problem with that is the market decides and totally destroys it. But they don't care. Johnson doesn't care.
No.
And he'll be happy to have, the whole,
And then he'll
and
become
he'll be,
governor
yeah,
someday,
he
and then
doesn't
he'll
care about
destroy
the important,
Colorado.
they used to care about workers and all that. That used to include city workers. And now we'll start firing them too.
I
You
know.
know, we'll get rid of 20 here, there, there. We'll just fire
Well,
all
and
those.
everything is, Jacob is saying, notice the license plates on fleet trucks, like some of the tree trimming companies are from out of state. Oh, I hadn't noticed that. Well, yeah, I mean, that's what exactly what happened. I mean, well, Colorado already has, because it has some of the most regulations. It's, you know, and it takes forever. I was talking with Jack, the guy from Mountain West Wellness, the acupuncture guy. So Rev is about to embark on the process of getting his learner's permit, which is a whole other scam. I won't even go into that, right? If you, the gone are the days when you could just walk in. Now you have to take classes. The state requires you to take classes by these private companies that charge you like $500 to get a learner's permit that you used to be able to get for free. But that's a whole different thing. But what now, and the Denver Post actually had an interesting story for a change. In order to get your actual license now, unless you're an illegal immigrant, then of course you can just get one,
All
right?
bets are off, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's taking up to a month. You have to make an appointment up to a month, and in some of the rural areas, 6 months in advance to get. So if you've got a 16-year-old out there who thinks they can just go get their license, that it takes a month to even get an appointment at the DMV.
Thank God.
And it's
Thank
like,
God.
what are they doing? What on earth are they doing? It's like it's like that's just destroy that too, right? I mean, that's the little things that Colorado. And now, will Jared Polis address that? No, but by God, let's make sure we give more than $4 million to Planned Parenthood. You know,
Yeah,
maybe they
well, I
could,
mean,
maybe you could get a license there. I don't know.
what some of the legislatures want to do, because Colorado is one of the four states that its tax return is based on taxable income, not adjusted gross income or gross income. So filling out your Colorado tax form is pretty easy. You just, okay, here's my taxable income. There are a few, additional ones you can have, and you're done. But now they want, no, we'll change depreciation. So you have a whole new. It'll take you as long to do your state return as it did your federal one. At least Polis said, "Nah, not so much that. Can't we screw everybody differently?" But the legislature in there right now is a progressive hellhole. The Republicans there are about as left wing as the Republicans can get, with a few great exceptions. And what they'll come up with will be a cluster. It'll be a cluster. It is. They could say, well, okay, maybe we'll give a tax break to Coloradans. That'll be the waitresses. We don't have to tax their tips. So, if federally they're not going to tax their tips, then, we'll go along with it. No, how can we pay for
No.
Planned
So if you're a
Parenthood
waitress,
unless we have
that's right. Not
those
only are you
smutty
being screwed,
waitresses to pay everything?
they've raised the minimum wage so high that businesses can't afford to pay it. So now it's hard enough to get a job as a waitress in Denver, right? And meanwhile, the one break you were going to get is at least you weren't going to have your tips taxed. And now Colorado says, oh no, we're going to do that too. So that should encourage businesses to come here too, right? It's
Oh,
like.
yeah.
And Jacob is saying, I can't imagine what it would cost for a driving permit cost plus insurance when a set of triplets turn 16. I mean, it's this Byzantine system. So here's what you have to do. When you turn 14 and a half, you have to pay roughly $400 to a private company, right? For the state to because the state requires you to start taking these online, or sometimes you can do it in a month classes. No matter how you do it, though, it costs about $400 to $500, right? Then you get to take a test that the state makes you pay for to get your learner's permit. Now you have your learner's permit. Now you have to pay, you have to go through this whole process for a year where you, and that was the same way when Jenny was there. So that's been there for a while where you kind of drive around with your parents and you keep track of it. But in order to get the driver's test, you have to go through another company and pay them to help you take the driver's test. But in order to do that, you still have to book it a month in advance with the DMV. I mean,
Well,
again, if
luckily, we're going to keep the poor people from riding around. That'll be good.
Yeah.
No poor
Well, that's
people riding around.
exactly. Who needs a car? You don't have to do that for a bike. But I mean, if you're an illegal immigrant, I think you just go straight to getting
Well,
your
you do. You
license.
take the California test, like that guy did down in Florida, where he had a California license, didn't know English, couldn't read stop signs, everything
Oh, yeah,
else.
the truck drivers. Yeah,
Free to kill
exactly.
people,
Maybe
License to kill.
Just go for your commercial truck driving license at 16. I mean, it's like your government working for you. It's like, could they make it any more expensive and cumbersome? Now, I'm sure if you happen to be, a driving company, you love this new law, but it's like, who put that in place? Why did we need
Driving
you?
company. Yeah, I gave
Somebody.
it to
So
somebody.
I think, but I think the thing is, the trouble with Colorado is, as long as the Democrats control things, I don't see it turning around. Because, as you said, the progressive wing, the Democrats have gone crazy. And if you're a Democrat and you wanted to try to say, hey guys, I mean, we do actually need businesses in Colorado, and we need, they talk about affordable housing where there's no housing, and
Yeah, we'll make it affordable, all right. You can go under a tent.
Because
That's
we're going to make
considered
it
affordable
so
housing.
laborious. And if you're building new, what are they you had to retrofit all of these businesses, a ton of money. That doesn't turn around overnight, right? If you're a business, you're planning years ahead of time. You don't be like, I think I'm going to build a new whatever warehouse, and I'm going to go to Colorado, and then you do it next week. That's years out. So, I mean, if it's bad now, it's only going to get worse. So if they think they have a budget deficit now, I mean, it's only going to get
Well, they're
worse.
never going to have a budget deficit. They're just going to tax everybody else to death directly. The fees, I mean, because fees, you don't need taxpayer approval. You can go, yeehaw.
That's
And
right.
now every fee they can find, every license and fee, they'll just double tap those as much as they can. I mean, this legislature session will be a lot of fun because they're not going to cut back.
No.
Cutting back on what? What
Well, no,
do you
they're
mean
giving more
cutting
money
back?
to Planned Parenthood. It's like,
Yeah, we're
right?
not cut back on Planned Parenthood. We're the abortion mill of the country. Anybody can come here and have an abortion. Therefore, we need to have as many of those Planned Parenthood
Well,
outlets as we can get.
and Mark Poff points out HOV lanes are the same thing. It only affects poor working people. That's why rich Democrats love them. Yeah, exactly. And then they keep going up, right? Because you use the HOV lane. It used to cost like $1.50 or something like that to
Right,
drive
and it
from
says
downtown.
apply for a mortgage to go on the HOV lane for a week.
You need to take out a loan. I mean, I'm not kidding you. It can cost $11 at peak time to, you know what I mean? And you're right. And if you're like, I can't afford $11. It's like, but on the other hand though, so if you're, why would you drive downtown, right? If you're a business, it's like, well, if it's going to cost my employees, either they're all going to be an hour late every day because the roads are so bad, or they're not going to be able to afford to drive to work. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll just go put my business someplace else,
Well, and they don't care, which is
No.
what I love about Democrats. They don't
Right.
go, oh, yeah, you're right. We have to rethink that. No.
No. They're like,
Okay.
it's destroyed. That's okay with us,
All right. And so, yeah, okay. You're a big company. Yeah, we don't like you. Yeah, you're going to go to somebody, going to go to Texas. Okay. We don't care.
Right.
I just love their kind of laissez-faire kind of view of we don't care what we destroy. Destroying is fun.
Yeah,
Destroying is
that's what they
profitable
do.
for all of us. And they kind of go, oh my gosh. And now, of course, we've invested very heavily in alternative fuels and wind farms and all of which are now no longer getting supported federally. So it'll be a disaster.
Right.
We don't like oil and gas. It used to be a pretty big oil and gas producing state, but luckily we've destroyed that.
But we do have nuclear, so we can put that nuclear plant.
Boy, Democrats now love nuclear. They
Well,
want people
that's what
everywhere.
Krista Kafer, who's an idiot, has a column in the Denver Post saying, you know what, a nuclear power plant near DIA. I don't know why people are so upset about that. It's
Well,
like.
that's another Democrat. So the Democrats need to have a Republican in name only, or whoever
Right.
they get. They get Krista Kafer, who regularly says she's not a Republican, then says maybe she is, and maybe she isn't. But if we worked with Krista Kafer and nice enough. But on the IQ level, it's on the downward tilt of the bell curve. And they have her dispensing advice to all of us. Here you go. Here's what
Right.
Krista thinks. And you kind of go, that's incredibly stupid. And they go, yeah, that's the whole point. That's the whole
Exactly.
point.
From this is HOV lane and Santa Fe Drive is 2+ passengers and doesn't cost anything. HOV lane and I-25 is 3+, and you have to have a pass. The HOV lanes screw you over. And then here's where they really get me is if you don't, some of them now that they have the cameras, so you can't cross the white line,
Yeah,
right?
that's good. So you can't
There's
get
something
off
on
on the
Julie's right
exit you
shoulder.
need
It's
to
our
get off
dog,
on.
Jacob. That's Tiger. Tiger's back there.
She looked like a cat, Julia. It looked
Yeah.
like a cat. Like, that's Tiger.
Hey,
She's busy.
let me wrap because on Wednesday, Wednesday's going to be a really interesting show. So
Really interesting.
we're going to
You don't
have
want
the.
to miss Wednesday.
It's essentially our nemesis, the folks over at Colorado Times Recorder, which is a, Soros-funded left-wing hack job. But if you take the incredible bias out, one of their reporters did an excellent job doing something that we've talked about here, but not in the kind of detail he went to, and that is following the uniparty establishment money in Colorado. And the tentacles that go to Advance Colorado and Phil Anschutz. I mean, it's incredible when you look at the connections, right? It's stuff you kind of suspected, but this reporter kind of tied it all together. Now, they're using it to attack Republicans, although they do acknowledge in the article, okay, well, Democrats, we have our dark money
Oh,
people
we have
too.
a little dark money. In fact, that's all they are. Oh, what are you guys going to do with all the money for the Democratic Party? Oh, not so much.
Not so much, but it's a fascinating look. And it essentially what it reveals is anything follow the money and you figure out who's actually pulling the strings behind the curtain. So that'll be
That's
on
not
Wednesday.
you.
Yeah, no, it's not us.
It's not you, the voter, or you're the Republican, or you're the anything.
Jacob and Charlene, it's not you. Mark Poffett's not even you. Hey, that will do it for us, everybody. Thank you to everybody on Zoom. Thank you to Dr. John Lott. And we will see you all on Wednesday.
Hi, everybody.